B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Where is the letting him get out there and run the helter-skelter stuff that seems so good for 2 or 3 years? Why haven't we seen no huddle offense? Why haven't we seen that him getting to the line and pointing everybody out, boom, 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 and throwing the ball where to go? Is it receivers not understand? Because I sure as hell see Matt Collins putting his arms up in the air going, what am I doing? Huh? I don't know. I think things have to be simplified, and it might just be like, Carson, go, it's on you. And you know, make things happen.
By the way, dude, you mentioned Matt Collins. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fan, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. I didn't see this until yesterday. Did anybody see how Matt Collins arrived at the stadium on Saturday?
I never want to see him arrive at a stadium ever again. Get out of here with your retro jerseys. Nobody cares. Go away. Him and Nelson Agholor make me violently angry to watch in an Eagles uniform anymore. That's it. I just had a normal reaction.
You just got so triggered over what?
Yes, because I hate it. Every week, the Eagles Twitter account. Oh, look, Matt Collins is arriving in a retro jersey. That's all he brings to the table. What are we doing? Stop it!
My God,
I'm very calm.
He got.
What did he wear? What the hell?
It was a Jeremiah Trotter jersey, and he did the axe.
He came running into the shot. Eagles social media tweeted it out. Somebody sent it.
Stop tweeting it out. Nobody cares.
My God.
Do something other than wear a retro jersey. You know, for what?
You know, Matt Collins is a really nice guy, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Wow.
Doesn't mean I ever want to see him or Agholor in an Eagles uniform ever again.
Trey, did you see this?
Can we bring up what Carson wore after the game? Or is that
that was awful, too. It all sucks. Everything sucks.
Now, in fairness, you already critiqued Carson's uniform attire yesterday.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
So we won't revisit. We'll stay stewing.
For the love of God, stop tweeting out his arrival to the stadium. Stop it. Do you get the fan base?
Block them.
I'm going to block the Eagles.
Don't look.
Okay. I mean, it'd be a bold move.
For you to have a reaction like this over a guy wearing
every week,
jersey.
It's like, ooh, Matt Collins is arriving. What jersey is he wearing this week? I don't know. Somebody that's better than him.
I would like the Eagles to do a screen grab of like your Twitter page, and it just says blocked. I'd be like, sup, Jamie? Like, just the Eagles be like, what's with that, man?
I mean, am I the only one that feels this way? I can't possibly be.
I kind of like that.
I mean, you know.
It's nice that he wears a retro. It's not nice that he doesn't contribute.
You're the only one that's furious.
Yeah, I don't know any normal human being that would react the way you do.
Everyone else rolls their eyes.
They tout it out there every week like, ooh, what's Matt Collins arriving in this week? I don't know. Maybe arrive in a game. How about that?
Hey, first series, he got overthrown by Wentz.
He's a waste of space. JJ over him.
All I got to say is, who's the former Eagles quarterback that tied the most consecutive completions? who is it, Jamie? Who is it? Tell me.
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. You brought up the stat. Foles here. That's all I got to say.
Not even close.
610-632-0975.
I can't be alone in this.
Trey, you're the only one that's enraged.
Of us four.
By far the only one. Other ones are enraged out there.
In all honesty, I don't know anyone who's inspired to rage by Matt Collins.
He brings less than nothing to the table, and they advertise him as wearing a throwback every week? Okay. What are we doing here?
Right. Former teammate of
He did the axe chop. It was awesome.
It would be cool if it was somebody other than Matt Collins.
I'll give you my honest to God reaction when I saw the video of Matt Collins arriving in the retro in the Jeremiah Treasure. It was, get the hell out of here.
We're going to lose by 100.
Full-on cry like Jamie?
It wasn't like, I need a puppy! Somebody give me kittens! It wasn't like that.
Every week I see it, I go, get off my team.
Okay.
Get off.
All right.
You and Nelson Agholor are anger-inducing. I don't want to look at your faces in an Eagles uniform ever again.
It's such problems.
I hate them.
And
not them personally.
Look what he's wearing.
They're both very nice men.
Oh,
I'm sure.
God.
As an Eagles player, I never want to see you again.
So Trey, you like the axe chop?
I thought the axe chop was cool. You know?
So when he wears a Trey Thomas jersey next week, you're going to scream and holler, aren't you, Jane?
No, he wore Trey's counterpart's jersey before.
Yeah.
He hasn't worn 72 though yet, Trey.
What the hell?
Pretty messed up, if you ask me.
Hmm.
I don't care.
I would love to. Kind of
hurts a little bit.
That would actually
care.
Be a disservice to you if Mac Hollins wore your jersey.
It hurts just a little bit, but I don't care. I don't care.
I would actually.
Not I'm not care, crying. You are.
Yeah. I mean, how did he pick Runyon over me?
I actually
yeah, Runyon did have a rocking number.
I would have loved
a cool number, but
Trey, if he would have. If that,
stings
if like
a little bit.
Jamie's little tidbit of information there would have gotten you to Jamie's level of rage.
What do you mean you never wore my jersey? Yeah.
And then you break something.
Do you know what I view it as? What, I view it as, that? I'm so awful. Please like me. Look, guys, I'm wearing a retro jersey. I like the Eagles. That's what I view it as. I'm so bad, I'm going to wear a retro jersey so you like me.
I'm almost surprised that he didn't wear, I don't know, like a David Akers jersey. You know, only people from special teams. Like a Dorenbos jersey.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That would be
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Donnie yeah. Donkey-like Jones jersey?
So then would he bend over and snap the ball towards
Brian
the camera?
Brian Braman.
That would be
Brian
good.
Brian Braman.
So Sean Morey?
Sean Morey,
the guy
yeah.
used to make himself bleed all the time?
Hold on. Matt McCoy.
Oh, there you go.
Mm. I'm just saying. These are all the names of special teamers that Mac Hollins aspires
I'm sorry,
to.
I'm calm again. Just never bring up his retro
jerseys
again.
You have a beautiful daughter.
I yeah, she's great. She's I love cool. when I get home and I forget about the Eagles. Here in this five-hour echo chamber, yeah, the Eagles really piss me off.
Brandon, North Philly, what's up?
Fellas, how you doing this morning?
Oh, we're good. What's up?
So, I don't know if y'all remember me. I called maybe a couple of weeks ago. I gave the hot take that Patty LaBelle being wide receiver.
Yes, that was a great. That was not a hot take. I heard they are reporting that is it, that it might happen.
I heard too. That's why I called. I didn't know what kind of contract we were going to give her. But got another hot take today, fellas. You ready for this?
What's that?
My thing is, Samalu can block. So put him at wide receiver. Nelson Agholor can't catch. Put him at left guard. Jason Peters is getting old. Move him at cornerback. And move Sidney Jones at left tackle.
You know, Brandon,
good.
Thanks for the call. Here's the deal. I don't know if we could say no because of the alignment that we saw in the first play of the second quarter with that, you know, Jason Kelce going out to wide receiver. Bob, you pointed it out. Isaac Seumalo took over the center position. You know who mm-hmm. came up and played left guard and then left tackle?
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Goedert. Jason Peters was left guard, and your center was Isaac Seumalo. So yeah. you might be right once. Nelson Agholor might come in to block. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever helps the team.
Give him a shot.
No, in all honesty, if you're having any of the receivers block, it probably is going to be Matt Collins.
By the way, getting a lot of support.
What, they were just as enraged as you?
A lot of people out there are part of Rage Nation when they see Matt Collins arrive in a retro jersey. I need to go to the Rage Room at the Flyer Center when I see that and just break things.
It's booked up. I've tried.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get in just for a TV bit, and they're like, ooh, we're booked up for the rest of the month. Call us back in December.
Well, we can rename that the Agholor and Hollins Rage Room.
Oh, here's a guy. A guy tweeted me right now saying that Matt Collins drives me nuts, too. How about make a play? In fairness, he was overthrown in the first series.
The one time he got open this year, he was overthrown.
He had five catches against Atlanta.
Yeah.
How about that?
That was great.
You have a lot of anger running in you.
I got to unfollow him on Instagram.
Who, Matt Collins?
Yeah.
You follow Matt
I follow
Collins
everybody.
You're just doing it to yourself, my friend.
I know.
You're
I
just
know.
Doing it to yourself. Let's get to Ray in, or excuse me, what do we have? Chris in Allentown. What's going on, Chris?
Bob, I am so with you. As I drive down the road, and every time you guys mention Matt Collins and Nelson Agholor, it makes you want to drive into a freaking pole. I cannot stand these two players on our football team.
That was Jamie.
Yeah, that'd be Jamie. Please don't ever, ever confuse me with Jamie.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
That's
man.
All right. No problem.
Welcome to the Rage Room, Chris.
The Rage Room.
I'm with you, brother. I am just I'm tired with this. This is just beyond ridiculous. I don't know why we just don't bench these two players. Bring some of our practice squads up. See what we have. So we know what we can build. I mean, obviously Carson Wentz has zero confidence in these guys, and it reflected on his gameplay this week. And, you know, I know that everyone wants to put blame on Carson. Yeah, he had a bad game, but they were playing the top defense in the league, and Doug Peterson did not put him in any kind of position. He should be doing play-action rollouts. I haven't seen this guy stand so still in a pocket since he started in the NFL. Even when he was a rookie, he did not, like, I mean, he just drops back, and he waits for the tackles to collapse on him before he can even throw the ball. Why is he not scrambling his feet? Why is he not moving around? Is it because we don't have a good quarterback coach? Is it because we don't have a good offensive coordinator? I don't know what it is, but I am just this season has been more frustrating than last season. I'll tell you that right now, guys.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, this season by far. Thanks for the call, Chris. I appreciate it. I am, because you've had Carson throughout the entire season. and you have not had a team that has rallied around their quarterback. You have not had a quarterback, I don't know, this most recent game get you over the hump. Put the ball in the hands of a wide receiver again in the end zone, then come down with the catch. But leading up to that, it was by far his most shaky game that we've seen him play all season long. You have your quarterback for every game you've played this season, and still yet you're struggling to be a 500 team. Like, that has been the most frustrating part. And the fact that we've recognized a lot of this is just outsiders, and they can't go in there and fix anything. They can't go in there with any consistency and fix it. Bill Belichick, look, great defensive mind, we all know, goes without saying. But you have no backup plan to Miles Sanders? That's how limited you are as an offense?
Yeah, I don't know if this season's more frustrating than last season.
Really?
At this point. They were 4-6 at this point last year. We didn't know that Carson Wentz had a broken back this time last year. You know what I mean? We didn't know that they were going to win a playoff game and come close to beating New Orleans. So it's par. It's right there. I mean, they were 4-6 this time last year. You didn't know that Nick Foles was going to have to come in and help you. You didn't know that Carson Wentz had a broken back. So I hate to say it, but it's probably on par.
I'm trying to think of the schedule from last year and the amount of close games they lost versus this year. Because it seems like there has been one or two plays this year that really could have turned the tides in every game.
Fair.
With the exception of the Cowboys game and the exception of the Vikings game.
Well, I'll tell you what. Take away those two games. The other ones, were winnable. All of them were winnable. And you can go to that instead of could have, should have won. Atlanta. Right? Detroit. New England. There's three right there. 5-5 goes to 8-2 real quick.
All right. Now, one of the other things, and we'll get to this in a second, that Donovan gave us yesterday was talking about waiting for the big play. And there are a couple of takeaways that we'll get into from Doug Peterson's press conference yesterday. One had to do with Lane Johnson. Also had to do with Andre Dillard possibly going out to play the right tackle position, which, Trey, I want you to get into because your explanation of this earlier was amazing. We'll also talk about why they got away from the run game and why Carson felt like he had to do everything on this offense. 610-632-0975. Coming up at 9:30, we'll play Know the Show, where we'll ask a question about something that happened earlier in the show at 9:30. If you know the answer, Goldenberg's Peanut Chews has given us a pair of tickets to Eagles Seahawks this Sunday, 1:00 kickoff at Lincoln Financial Field.
Yeah!
We know last week that that game got flexed. Now it's a 1:00 kickoff against the Seahawks.
Line is very weird.
What is the line right now? 2.5?
It's dropped to 1.5 on some books, but it opened as Eagles -3.
Wow!
Put my brain in a Annie Ann's pretzel.
Well, that tells you something. They must have known what jersey Mac Hollins was going to show up in, and then that would have started. How do you feel about it? 610-632-0975, 610-632. We got Alejandro, we got Ray, we got George. We got open lines after that, 610-632-0975.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
8:00 hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. I have one of my, it's my favorite thing I've seen so far to support your hate for Mac Collins jersey wearing, Jamie. Here you go. Philly Farrow tweets us, I support Jamie when I say two wide receivers should be traded to the CFL for maple syrup.
Good maple syrup, like not Aunt Jemima.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
the good stuff?
That's worth Mac Collins.
The one where you just shove the spigot into the tree. I got a maple tree in my backyard. I'm going to try it. I'm going to give it a little whirl. Get a little sap.
I would trade Mac Collins for some Vermont pure, Canadian pure maple syrup.
I'm going north of the border.
Vermont's pretty good.
Are there like sommeliers for syrup? Now that this is where my mind goes. This is where my mind goes with that. But real quick, you just heard it in Sam's update there, and I wanted to visit this again. Now, they're talking about Andre Dillard, if Lane Johnson can't go, playing the right tackle position. Trey Thomas, your thoughts?
Okay, all right.
I'm going to take this Halls out so I can really explain this.
You're still battling illness, my friend.
Man, it's just, you know. All right. So as a left tackle, you know that you have, you know, left-handed stance. Your left foot is back. Your right foot is forward. All right. So whenever you're punching, we're just going to go with just punching real quick. When you're talking about punching as an offensive lineman, if my left foot is back and I take my steps, so if I work back inside, I should stay in this same formation where my left foot is back, my right foot is up. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if the guy goes inside, my right foot should still stay up. All right, so let's just do that real quick. And then also, too, we're going to talk about punching. As a puncher, as an offensive tackle, if I'm punching, you always want to go, you never shoot both hands at the same time. It's always 1-2. You know what I'm saying? Right inside hand, outside hand. Inside hand, outside hand. Sometimes you might block a guy with one hand just because you punch him and then you run him back. You really don't want to bring your outside hand into it unless you really need it, you know? So it's always 1-2, 1-2. All right, so now, he's been in a left-handed stance for years now. Wait, probably about 3-4 years, college,
yeah.
And then now you're here. So now let's switch you over to the right side now. Okay, so now he's on the right side. Let's say if he gets in the habit, he's used to being in the stance where his left foot is up, left foot is back, right foot is up. Now he's in a right-handed stance, your right foot is back, your left foot is up. Let's say if he gets an inside move, and by habit, he drops his inside foot to where he's usually used to being in that left-handed stance. You know what that's going to do? Open up a lane to the quarterback. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because how you set, you have to stay in that right-handed stance. So when you go inside, that left foot has to stay upfield. You have to keep that foot upfield. If not, if you drop your inside foot, then now that opens the lane to the quarterback. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just going to talk about punching now. Now, you're on the other side of the field, and you have to punch. Now, you're on the right side. Now, you have to punch left hand first. Left hand first, right hand. Left hand, right hand. If you mess around and you throw your outside hand first, you're done. I mean, you're done. And then, because you have absolutely nothing else to battle with. You mess around and throw that outside hand out of habit. You know, if there's anybody that understands how to clean hands, your ass is going to be over there with a pencil and some Gatorade, making sure that you keep it chilled because you're going to get the quarterback destroyed.
It sounds like if you're punching with your right hand, you're literally opening up to say, hey, right there's my quarterback.
Well, no, because if you punch with the outside hand first, they clean it. You have nothing else to battle with.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. On the right side.
Yeah, on the right side.
Yeah, yeah.
If you throw the right hand. But on the left hand, on the left side, you always want to throw right hand. You only bring that left hand.
Yeah.
You only want to bring that left hand only if you really need it.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you'll shoot, it'll look like it's 2, but it's 1-2, 1-2. It's like boxing.
Mm-hmm.
But you got guys coming at you. But, you know, so that's why if they come out there and you clean your hands, you always one, you refit, bam, and then you sank it in. But if you mess around and throw that outside hand first out of just habit, and it takes a long time to, like, you know, it takes a while to get that out of your system. Now, Vitae is your swing guy, you know, so he's going to be working a little bit of left, working a little bit of right. But Dylan hasn't done that.
Is it any help to Vitae at all that not only has he played the tackle position at the NFL level, but he's also been more on the right side of the offensive line through training camp, through preseason?
Yes, that helps.
Okay.
Because
even though it's right guard.
Yeah, that helps. You've been in a right-handed stance, though.
Okay.
And you're using that same mechanics. And then so now when you bounce back and forth, it kind of helps you. You know, like in college, we always bounce back and forth. We played both left and right tackle. So it was always strong, weak side. So it didn't matter. You had to get used to it. But then once you get into the pros, you just stick to one side. And, man, I mean, you mess around. I even when I'm just chilling, standing, I have my left foot back. Like, I do everything with a left-handed style stand just because that's how I've been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, you mess around and get somebody over on the right side that's not used to that, that could be a problem. Nice. And now he only has a couple days.
Yeah.
And now you got Clowney. You got Clowney coming to town. So what are you going to do? You can probably put a tight end over there on him, kind of help boost, bump him down. What, you going to jump set him? Man, you mess around and jump set and throw that outside hand first. Or even you jump set and you get in a bad habit and you drop your inside foot instead of keeping that upside, because they call that the post step. So whenever you work back inside, you got to keep that up. Keep your front step up. You have to stay keep it up, just so you can always stay in balance. If you drop that inside foot, you open up the lane, and then that's when all those games gonna come, and you gonna get. It's a little bit more than what people think it is.
And you have very, very young running backs back there that, if there's something coming, need to pick things up, make the right decision.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, because
basically two rookies.
Yeah, pretty much two rookies, especially if you don't have Jordan Howard back.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
So now you get Sanders back in there. I mean, here comes the cross dog. I mean, because that the blitz that they beat Sanders in, it was just a cross dog blitz. You know, you got to come up in there and you got to be firm when you go in there with the linebacker. You just can't come in there with your chest high. You know, that's like walking into a fight with your chin up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's the first thing. They tuck that chin. He come in there with a chin all high and get pushed back, and then there's a sack.
Well, I'll tell you this. On our Twitch audience, people are enjoying two things most. One, the hand motions.
Okay.
You know, you actually coaching people up, basically, is what you're doing as you're sliding around. Like, we tease Bob all the time for going through the dribbling motion and the shooting whenever he talks about those two things in basketball. Mm-hmm. With you, Trey, they're enjoying the coaching session, and then they're also enjoying how flyered up you are today with the Flyers hoodie and backwards Flyers hat.
Yeah.
Game day.
Game day.
Morgan Frost today, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Tonight, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get after it, those
Game
Flyers.
Day.
Game day.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard you say that on a non, like, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football.
Do you have your Flyers J's on? I didn't even notice.
Of course I do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yes. You know, they're all one and the same.
Getting back to Doug Peterson from yesterday, from his press conference yesterday, trying to explain what was going on. As we highlighted many times, 75% of the time in the second half, they threw the football. At its worst, it was a 7-point game. 75% of the time, you still threw the football. It wasn't like they were trying to come back from three scores down and they had the second half to do that. Pass. No. 7 points at its worst. At its greatest deficit, 7 points. So Doug decided, throw the ball 75% of the time. And why would you do that? Why would you just kind of throw the run game out the window? Here's Doug yesterday talking about why they decided to really look for that big play, and the only reason they thought they could get it was through the passing game. Here's Doug yesterday on that.
You know, some of it was lane, but you know, it's not all on that. The other thing was just we did struggle to kind of get positive yards in the run game, you know, and sustain positive yards. And you know, we might have one good play, and then we might take a step back, or there was a penalty. And so, you know, and then two, as the game progressed, I felt like that, you know, in order for us to kind of get ourselves in a position to score and tie it, we needed to find an explosive play. And so the passing game became, you know, a little more important at that time.
When I hear that one explosive play type of thing, like, you're looking to get lucky. Like, you're not looking to... fair enough. But, like, on the 16-play drive, you weren't getting lucky. You were just exploiting their weaknesses. You were coaching to your own strengths. Now, if it's not going to be Miles Sanders catching the ball around the line of scrimmage to get a screen pass and advance it and all that stuff, then Nelson Agholor did that well earlier in the game. Dallas Goedert did that well in a tight end screen. We saw a tight end screen.
Right.
Hey, go figure.
Yeah.
None of that in the second half. Now, you want to tell me you took away Miles Sanders and you were blanketing him? All right, fine. He's your best playmaker on the field. If they took him away, then why not go to the other guys that can make a play for you? Trey, you mentioned Dallas Goedert earlier. He made a play for you earlier in the game. You mentioned Zach Ertz. He was making plays all over the field on Sunday. If you're waiting for that one big play, why not try to get your playmakers involved more and actually, I don't know, scheme them to get open a little bit? Maybe call a play that's a little bit more creative. Maybe call a play that's going to allow you to have more than four plays per possession. Maybe just a thought. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't do that in that game. And I look at the play calling number one with Doug Peterson and how, and we always talk about creativity. You saw it in the first half. You didn't see it at all in the second half. And you mean to tell me you're going to wait for that one explosive play? Well, how are you going to make that happen if you're telling me after the game as well? Excuse me, you're telling me yesterday at the press conference that Bill Belichick had taken that play away from you.
And how about a different scheme? Like, yeah, okay, they passed it as much as they did in the fourth quarter especially. But what changed? I didn't see like Zach Ertz running an out and up,
right,
which we never see. I didn't see like somebody dragging across the middle, which we hardly ever see. It was the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 10 yards, go down, sit down, let me try to fit it into you. Maybe a guy running across every once in a while, but it's a Jordan Matthews. Like, I don't know. I just don't see what changed, what went different with Doug Peterson in this second half. And that's to me, is confusing.
Coming up a little less than an hour, we're going to talk to Bob Ford. In about 28 minutes, we'll talk to Bob Ford from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com. 9:30, we'll play Know the Show. We'll ask you a question about something that happened earlier in the show. And if you get it right, you're going to win yourself a pair of Seahawks Eagles tickets for this weekend, November 24th, 1 o'clock kickoff, courtesy of the great people of Goldenberg's Peanut Chews. Delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. Alejandro, North Philly, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, Alejandro.
All right.
How y'all doing today?
Good, man. Good.
Good stuff you guys got. I think my man Wentz is under immense pressure, man. I mean, they got a statue of this kid outside, man, Foles, with the coach. I think he won the Super Bowl. They got a picture of him in one of them damn rooms. Get that stuff out of there. Wentz is our quarterback, and this guy constantly has holes in his mind. So one thing I'd like to tell you guys is if he takes down the Dallas Cowboys that the second week to the last week and he takes Seattle down, a lot of this stuff will go away. But he has to – he's getting paid $100-something million. He has to – live up to what he's getting.
Sure.
And I understand you guys saying that the play calling, and this guy came in the lead, scrambling, running, throwing touchdowns. I mean, what happened? It can't be just a play call. It has to be himself. I think his self-esteem, something went the hell down because he's not playing like he used to. He used to run around, snap people around. Now he just three and out goes to the sideline. Three and out goes to the sideline. I mean, he's not talking to even our receivers. I mean, you got to talk to him. I see other quarterbacks, Roger, for once. He'll go to the quarterback. He missed the ball. He go right to him. I need you to catch that effing ball the next time I come to you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. You'd like that. And maybe he does need to be more of that field general, right? That fiery guy. I don't know. But I'll say this. As far as anything goes with Foles and the statue and pictures and all that, who the hell cares? Like, get over it.
Yeah, that's what you're going to have to deal with.
And I don't think it is.
You get paid a lot of money to get over that.
If it is, go out there and do something about it. All right? Just go out there and do something where you get your own picture in the building.
Exactly. Like,
that shouldn't be something that bothers you.
Yeah, Alejandro brought up Aaron Rodgers, and a couple people have commented on the morning poll stuff along these lines. Add Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, let's say. Mm-hmm. Add them to this Eagles team right now, as is. Mike Rowe, Doug Pea, the wide receiver core, as is.
Uh-huh.
So, do those quarterbacks have the Eagles as the division leader?
In all honesty, I don't think so.
Because I don't think so either.
Because we're dealing with something that's very odd.
It's so bizarre.
Two of the wide receivers that are on the field often, most notably Nelson Agholor, is a guy that doesn't want to make that big play.
Like, can't.
He does not look like a guy. When you watch him, he says all the right things in the locker room, and I give him credit. He doesn't hide. He tries to address it, and I thought he was honest.
Great guy, just sucks at football.
But ain't the question about great guy. I'm just saying that when it comes to saying all the right things, he's doing that. And you saw him try at least to make the play, but there was no contact involved. There was nothing like that. Time and time again, we've seen him be in those opportunities where he can make that big play, and he has shied away from it.
Oh, there was, I think even worse than the final play of the game was the one earlier when they had a blitz come free. Carson shook a guy, looked to the back left corner of the end zone, put a ball where literally only Agholor could catch it.
Right.
And that's a play that's pretty standard around the NFL. I mean, when you look at the freeze shot, the screenshot of him where he catches the ball, he could have easily toe-tapped.
Yes.
But he's incapable of it.
He had no idea. He either didn't know where he was on the field or didn't want to make the play.
It was a combination of the two.
Again.
But he caught the ball, though.
He caught the so let's look
but
at the
so
look
Russell
at the
Wilson might throw the ball exactly in the same spot. He's going to make the play for Russell Wilson?
Right.
Like, I don't see him doing
so
that.
What I'm saying is, after the game, you listen to what he says and you go, oh, that guy, he wants to make a play. But then you watch him in the game, and I even hate to break it down to just body language because it's not even that.
It's confidence.
It's watching him go through a route as a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And watch him try to make the catch as a wide receiver. And he does not look like a guy who has that want to. He looks like a guy who does not want to be in that position. He is not a guy, like even good wide receivers, not even great ones, they want the ball. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the position, regardless of where they are in the depth chart, they want the ball at the end. The great athletes, even the good athletes, they just want that ball because their whole life they have been the guy on whatever team they've been on to be the go-to guy. Now he's in a situation where it seems like he clams up under the lights.
Yeah, and I feel bad for him, man, because, I mean, his situation that, you know, of course you want to get out there. This is what you do. This is your job. You want to go out there and make the play. But I think, right, man, this is a hard. This is a tough place to play, man.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that it has gotten to him.
Oh, especially he's holding
after,
on, yeah.
After you hear him after that, I mean, he just sounds like someone that's just broken.
He's back in 2016, Nelson, where he's mentally caved on himself.
Right. So enter.
And yeah, we have a part in it. We're nuts.
I mean, it's tough. This is a tough is a tough city to play for,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
I mean, to be out there and you hear all of the stories, and then when you walk into the stadium, and you got how many does the stadium hold? 60, 70,
65?
80,000?
Yeah.
And you got all those people just on you, man. Dude,
you try to do a nice thing, wear a retro jersey to the games, and you got some idiot on the radio just chastising you.
Yeah, what was that about?
These guys sitting up there, oh, he got to do better. I guess you made every catch in your 100. What, you had 100 people at your football, high school football game?
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Enter Chad Johnson.
Ocho Cinco.
I love Ocho Cinco.
Enter Chad Johnson.
If he'd only play me in FIFA one time, coward.
He's running from you.
He's scared. He doesn't want that heat.
I didn't realize that was a thing.
I've been tweeting him for like 5 years. Like, let's just play FIFA.
Everybody tweet Chad Johnson right now.
He claims he's the best FIFA player in the world.
Well, I believe the challenge accepted,
is
what Jamie Lynch says. So a fan tweets Chad Johnson. I think this was just after the game, after the Eagles game on Sunday. Do you have free time to teach the Eagles wide receivers how to get separation? Now, Chad Johnson, how do you think he responds to that? Oh, sign me up. I'll do anything, right? That's how you would think.
He's an analyst now.
Yeah, apparently not. Apparently he does not go that direction. Apparently he says, this is what Chad Johnson quoted the tweet and said, I will fight. I will fight every Eagles fan in Lincoln Financial Field defending our receivers.
Huh?
All right. I don't care if I get beat up. It's a difficult game, and the outcome hasn't been in our favor the past couple weeks. As a fellow receiver, I assure you, they're doing everything they can. They're doing their due diligence. So he plays the I'm a once a receiver, always a receiver card.
Yeah.
Instead of the, I'll take the job to give me, sign me up.
Because he's dropped the pass too.
Uh-huh.
He's dropped some big passes along the way. He's had some ones that should have been there. Everybody that's played this game gets it.
Mm. Did he do it for 4 of his 5 years in an Eagles uniform? Because that's what Nelson Aguilar has done.
Yeah, what I'll say is when you went to the Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers aspect of it, I think somehow, and I do think this is kind of a fault of either Peterson and or Wentz, somehow they would have found a way to get your other starting wide receiver more involved. I mean, when targets are one, two, somehow they would have found a way to incorporate them into an offense. I'm not saying, great, but 3 or 4 catches from a starting wide receiver shouldn't be as hard as Eagles are making it look.
I'll say this. Russell Wilson can certainly buy time with his leg. I mean, let's just say this. Russell Wilson is a better quarterback than Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
I think that goes.
Yeah,
receivers,
yeah.
No receivers.
He's an elite quarterback.
Absolutely. If you put him here, you probably have a better record. But in terms of your receivers being better, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I don't think they're that much better, honestly. They're better, but they're not.
What do you mean? Who's not better?
The Eagles, I think, are slightly better. Like, he probably hits Zach Ertz.
Oh, if Russell Wilson, yes. Okay, yeah.
But, I don't know if they're, serious Super Bowl contenders.
No, exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Sam, real quick, give me an update on our Twitter poll, because I want to examine this. It's about Carson Wentz, go figure. If you put him with elite wide receiver, if you put him with even just average wide receivers, how would he be faring? Would he be an elite type of quarterback? Sam, what do we have?
Our Twitter poll is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, are you confident Carson Wentz will reach elite status if he had at least average receivers? We have just under 2,800 votes so far. 67% now said yes, they are confident.
It's up to 67. I'm surprised it started around 63, but I'm glad it's rising. 610-632-0975. Coming up top of the hour, 9 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Bob Ford of Inquirer.com. We'll get his perspective on the entire sports scene as we see it now, as well as paying tribute to just the best writer that probably ever walked through our city in Bill Lyne. If you had a chance to read his articles growing up through your time as a sports fan in Philadelphia, there's really nobody better to do that. Bob, will ask you about Bill Lyne. We talked about a little bit yesterday. I want to spend more time on it today. Time of the Fanatic is 8:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up at 9:30, we play Know the Show. Before that, now in about 8 minutes, we'll talk to Bob Ford from the Inquirer.com. That's Inquirer.com. Know the Show, by the way, at 9:30 for Goldenberg's Peanut Chews Eagles Seahawks tickets. We'll be giving that away. And that's for right now. Don't forget about the Fanatic Pro Shop that finally arrived. Fanatic Pro Shop, 975thefanatic.com, just in time for the holiday gift-giving season. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports-themed merchandise and apparel at discount prices at 975thefanatic.com. As always, on Friday, we'll name our Tool of the Week, brought to you by Holland's True Value and Garden Center. Let's get to Amir. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Amir?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing, man?
Good, bud.
Listen, I got two things, man. Well, first of all, I think Carson definitely can play. Now, my thing is this, man. We say it's Carson's fault, but then we say it's to be
Amir, Amir,
too.
Amir, can you get on right on that phone, man? It's a little bit of a bad connection.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Let me come back to you, my friend. Tyree, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tyree?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
All right.
Listen, the guy the guy before that, he's like, oh, Wentz is getting paid $1 million. That's zeros on his check, can't catch the ball. They can't, and don't get me wrong. When I, like, Trey, what you said, I didn't realize that, and I was thinking that, like, why is he only reading half of the field? Because there were times where there's things that Carson can do better, like just taking the check down, taking what the defense is giving him. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I really think his morale is this.
His morale?
He's not this.
Tyree, his morale is destroyed?
Yeah, like, I don't think he has the confidence. Like, he just looks defeated. Like, they go out there and go three and out. He just runs back to the sideline. He just doesn't look like that quarterback was in 17. And even in 18, we rushed him back off of the injury. He comes back with 1-2, and everybody forgets, all the fools in society forgets we were 1-2 coming in, you know, coming in, coming back for that right. Week 4 matchup last year against the Colts. Like, it's crazy, and you are, don't get me wrong, he makes a lot of money. But when you got to walk by that statue every day, and then you got these people in this city that swear to God that Nick Foles is better than Carson Wentz, and then you got guys, like, I feel, and don't get me wrong, Aguilar has to catch balls. But after I seen that interview, this city is so crazy with people, and they got revisionist history. Like,
well, real quick, what interview? What interview?
The one with Aguilar. I really thought he was about to cry. Like, I'm not.
His post-game
really
stuff, yeah.
You're spiky in Philadelphia, can get destroyed. If you're not mentally tough in Philadelphia, you're going to get destroyed. And Trey just said it, it's a hard place to play.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. We know it's a hard place to play, and Trey, you've made that we're not for everybody. We're not a perfect match for anybody.
No.
But you mean to tell me...
This is a tough city to play for, man.
Yeah, but Nick
Foles...
But
it can be the greatest, too, right?
Yeah, it can be the greatest, but you got to be... Yeah, you got to have a little something about yourself. You know, you can't be scared of the moment. And I think right now, especially when you talk about that, I think right now it's just, he needs, I think, a fresh start to go somewhere, you know.
Good.
This will make you happy.
Aguilar?
Yeah.
Okay. He's toast here. He's done.
Yeah, I mean, he's done here. You know, I think that just playing in front of that crowd is tough. And then, and also, too, hey, let's add some social media to the equation as well. Like, it was tough for us, but we didn't have social media to kind of point out, and everybody can pull up all the clips and can slow-mo it and then put babies in the pictures that you're not... I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it could be cold-blooded.
Oh, if he searched his name on Twitter, he might cry for hours upon hours.
Well, he sounded like he was about to the other day.
Oh,
maybe he is.
He was definitely about to.
Can we just nip something in the bud immediately? No one is saying that... Okay, we had a caller bring up the idea that Carson is... basically, it's in his head with the Foles statue and a picture of the Eagles winning the Super Bowl with Nick Foles in the NovaCare complex.
We didn't say that.
We did not say that. Yeah. And we're not starting that rumor. That was something that's if any quarterback can't overcome that, you shouldn't be in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a problem.
If pictures are haunting you, the ghost of Nick Foles, the memory of Nick Foles is haunting you, you might want to look at another profession. So I'm not saying that's affecting Carson Wentz in the least bit, nor do I want to promote that line of thinking. Let's see if we got Amir back. Amir, we have you, buddy?
Yeah, you hear me?
My man.
There we go.
Yeah, listen, man. I think it's how we really go for the most part, right?
Amir, are you on speaker, my friend?
No, I'm not on the
receiver,
but it's loud in my
words. It's just an awful connection, my man. We've talked to you before. We'll get you another time, my man. I know. Yeah. I know you're good for it. Ray, what's going on, brother?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey.
All right.
I am totally on board with Jamie's absolute frustration with Matt Collins. And here's why.
Okay, go ahead.
When your team is underperforming and you're bringing attention to yourself every week by doing something that's not on the field, it's absolutely, it reminds me almost of Sean Rodriguez. Like, your team's underperforming and then you're going to bring attention to yourself by calling out the fans. Like, make a freaking play, dude. You want to bring attention to yourself? Make a play. He's got more jerseys this year than he has catches.
Not bad.
That's actually a fact. You can look that up.
No.
Don't laugh at me.
That's a great point, right? That's a great point. Good work out of you, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
All right, you have a good day, my friend.
Look at that. That's not good when your team is struggling and you causing all your, hey, look at me. Especially when you go out there on the damn field with no shoes on. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, my focus kind of went more towards the lack of shoes pregame. I didn't even see the Jeremiah Trotter jersey that he ran into. Yeah, but that is wild.
What are you doing?
So what are the, Trey, before a game, you used to get to the, say a 1 o'clock game, you would get to the stadium when?
Well, probably around about 10:30, 11.
Okay, so you go in and you do what? Because we see guys out on the field, they might be shirtless, they might just have shorts, whatever it may be. What are you told to do, or what were you accustomed to doing?
You come in, you take everything out, you start getting taped up.
Exactly my point.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why he's going, like, he doesn't tape his ankles?
That's what I'm saying. Why? If I'm a coach, I'm saying, hey, guys, you know, come in as early as you want, whatever, get loose. Get taped before you hit the field.
Yeah, you're supposed to get taped up, ready to go.
Even if you're wearing sneakers that you're not going to, whatever, trying on cleats, be taped. I don't understand that at all. Yeah. Joel Embiid used to come out on the court with slides on and start shooting while he was trying to recover from injury. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.